Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Welcome to another brand new sparking edition of The Thought Police with me, Mike Graham, and him,
Kevin O'Sullivan.
Welcome to what is, what I suppose, the second week of April. The fucking rain is falling, the wind is blowing, it's freezing cold. I went out for lunch the other day and literally couldn't get a seat inside the restaurant.
Oh, you didn't have to sit outside. Outside,
which was sunny when I started, and by the time the food arrived, pissing down with rain. I was like, what the fuck?
That was two things. Right, so back in January, just talking about al fresco dining, it was my wife Henrietta's birthday.
Mm.
And so I better not mention the name of the restaurant, but it's one of the better... Well, it's a
did you manage to get home in time to take her to the restaurant?
I did.
As opposed to last time you were meant to do that.
No, it was a Saturday. So we made our way down. She was all excited about it. And we got there and it said, oh, yeah, so Kevin O'Sullivan and Henrietta, we have a table booked. You know, I'd asked them to bring some champagne and all this for her, but you know, and they'd say, oh, yes, we've got your booking. This is January, the middle of fucking January.
Oh, you
January.
Told me this story.
Yeah.
And they gave you one to have the table outside.
They gave us a table outside.
Right.
I said, no, don't really want a table outside, you know, on account of it's pissing with rain and freezing fucking
yeah.
cold.
Right.
They go, well, that's what we got you down for. So I said, well, obviously we're not going to eat outside.
Right.
We need to eat inside or when we've got the tables. I said, we better fucking find this one. We booked, you know. Anyway, they eventually found us this really shit table.
And didn't you go to the Ivy
Club? Yes, I said, fuck off.
Yeah, you fucking told me that story already.
Yeah, anyway.
You've already wasted anyway, the first 5 minutes.
Anyway, al fresco dining
yes.
in London at any time is not a good idea,
no.
particularly January or April. And by the way, what the fuck happened to the warm weather we were promised? Yesterday, it was about fucking 20 degrees below zero.
I know, and howling wind. I mean, the fucking windows have been shaking for the last probably 3 days. It's absolutely fucking ridiculous. Disgraceful. Anyway, let's talk about what's been going on in Westminster, I suppose.
Ooh,
because
Willie Rag, Toe Rag.
I mean, there's all kinds of names that you can put to it. But it's interesting, isn't it? Because he's now being accused of being the guy at the centre of the fucking pincher problem.
Yeah.
And basically, he's the guy that got Boris out of fucking Downing Street.
Exactly right. Now, William Rag, just in case anyone doesn't know, a few days... Well, actually, last weekend, this big story emerged... saying that MPs, various MPs, parliamentary staff, political journalists were all suddenly sent these images of a woman and a bloke called Charlie, a woman called Abby, all in the fucking nude and saying, why don't we get together and all that. Do you remember we met at this party?
Yeah.
All bullshit.
By the way, if you don't remember meeting somebody at a party who's sending you a text message... Yeah. You probably shouldn't be fucking in touch with them.
Just fuck them off.
Right?
Anyway.
But either that or it was such a great party that maybe you should fucking talk to them.
So the question was how did whoever's doing this get these numbers?
Right.
Turns out it's the Tory MP, William Rag. He's only 37. Joined Parliament at the age of 27. Famous for at one point saying, I've had to move back in with my mum and dad because I can't afford the rent.
Really?
On what is it, 90 grand?
Did he mean can't afford the rent boy?
I can't afford the rent boy! Exactly! Well, looks like he could afford rent boys because he met this gay guy on the gay dating site Grindr.
Yeah, where I'm reliably informed you don't go for a date, you go for a fuck, basically.
Yeah, that's
right?
What it is.
Because I've got a very good friend of mine. Who's gay, came to see me in London once, doesn't live in London, and as we were having a drink in my place, he's on his phone, he's like, blimey, there's a guy downstairs, and he found there was some guy downstairs from me who was on Grindr,
yeah.
And he's like, do you mind if I go and show you? I said, well, I'd rather you didn't, to be honest. Do you mind not
doing
that?
Move on.
Yeah, because we've got to go out for dinner.
make it a quickie.
Yeah, so, but I mean, that's what it's for.
That's what it is, yeah. You can say, I'm just behind the lamppost on the corner of the street. Why don't you come and fucking suck me off? That's basically Grindr.
Yeah.
Anyway, William Ragg meets this guy.
By the way, have you got Ian Duncan Smith's number? I mean, you know, while you're doing it.
I've just got to get my cock out of my mouth. So William Ragg meets this guy, and I guess they get it on and all that. Then the bloke says, "Oh, that's fantastic. Send me a picture of yourself in the nude."
Yeah.
So William Ragg, the stupid fucking naive arsehole, did just that.
Right.
Next thing, that guy comes off. Right, if you don't send me a load of phone numbers and MPs and stuff, I'm going to put this picture out there and you'll be ruined. So William Ragg promptly did that. And then he said, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm mortified. And you got Jeremy Hunt, the Chancellor, and it's so brave.
Brave.
It's brave.
It was an unusual choice of words,
brave,
I thought.
Brave. It's not brave, he's a fucking squealing little cunt.
How about it was fucking stupid as opposed to it was fucking
stupid
brave.
And cowardly.
But you could have said, look, it was stupid, but at least he's had the courage to come out and admit that it was him.
I suppose so.
Could
not,
have said
not
that.
Not just lying.
But don't I just think. Go, fucking, yeah. He's so brave. You know, what a role model for young men.
Well,
do me a favour.
Actually, a lot of people have been saying, is he getting... So he wasn't even stripped of the Tory whip. He's just resigned himself. So basically the
Although last night, you know, what was being said was senior Tories were saying, yeah, he had to fucking fire himself because Rishi Sunak hasn't got the fucking balls to do it.
So yeah, he spared the Tories blushes. They should have fired him immediately. So he resigned the Tory whip. And attitudes are now hardening in Westminster.
Yeah.
Why they weren't
as opposed to Cox.
Cox are now hardening in. No, so people are saying, well, hang on a second. This is very serious for a kickoff.
Well, it is.
Who is behind this?
Right.
William Ragg should surely be punished by Parliament.
Well, the police are now investigating.
And the police. Yeah. And the fucking police.
There's at least two police investigations, to my knowledge. Leicester police are investigating a situation, which I assume involves one of the Leicester MPs. And also
receiving these people.
Receiving these messages. Yeah, exactly. And also Metropolitan Police are now looking into it as well.
Yeah.
And surely to God, if that's the case, he shouldn't even be an MP. Shouldn't he be fucking suspended?
Well, the reason that a lot of people said the reason the Tories were so soft on him was because they were terrified of another humiliating by-election.
Right.
And you can imagine that. He's already said, this little twat, Rag, the toe rag, that he's stepping down anyway at the next election. He had already announced that.
But I don't
a lot
think
of people
that's
are saying,
relevant,
why is
it?
He still doing in Parliament?
But exactly. Why is that relevant? The fact that he's already going to leave is not really the point. He's still going to be then on a public payroll for the best part of at least another 6 months, maybe longer, because it's now possible, apparently, that Sunak might not call an election until fucking January.
Yeah, January the 20th.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine
limping
on until
then? The last possible
day.
You're fucking
unbelievable. So, but the intriguing part for me, though, is the stories that have now been put around by people like Nadine Dorries, that this guy actually was one of the main reasons how the whole Pincher incident got publicised, because he's friends with the guy, or was
who,
a boyfriend
who got his
of the
ass
guy
pinched.
He got his ass pinched by
Pincher
in, what was it, in
the
Carlton, in the Carlton Club.
Tory private members club in Mayfair, but yeah, I mean, can you believe, by the way, this guy, Chris Pincher, who basically played a major part in the final downfall of Boris, because he went to the Carlton Club, got rat ass, just as a rat, with a few of his, he was gay, and a few of his gay mates. And apparently Chris Pincher literally pinched the ass of some young spad, political advisor, who didn't like it at all. But I mean, can you believe his name is Chris Pincher?
It's incredible.
Anyway, you're right, Ragg was there.
Willie Ragg and Chris Pincher, you couldn't make it up, could you? Here we've got a bloke called Willie.
Toe Ragg and Chris
Pincher. Bloke shown his Willie, called Pincher. Willie, and ass Pincher, pinching people's asses, called Pincher.
Yeah, so...
All we need now is a new Prime Minister called Cunt.
Yeah, well then Boris, of course, started lying about what happened at the club, saying he didn't...
Covering up for him.
Yeah, covering up for Pincher, and that was the end. But apparently, when Pincher was caught pinching this guy's ass, Ragg was seen in triumphant mode nearby, saying, "We've got it."
Yes,
and also it is also suggested that Ragg was one of the big plotters against Boris Johnson. So frankly, it just looks like this little prick was just a big troublemaker who liked causing
and
problems.
Also, interestingly, as you say, only 36 years of age, but actually was considered to be a senior Tory, yeah, and was deputy chair of the fucking 1922
committee. And he was also chairman of the Public Administration Select Committee.
Right.
So he was a high flyer,
yeah,
who is now no longer flying high.
He's now crashed into a building.
Yeah, he's what's known as fucking finished.
Right, but he shouldn't be, as I say, he shouldn't be allowed to just sit there on the grounds that he's retiring anyway. Because if he does retire, he gets a payoff. Don't forget, these guys get about £40,000 or £50,000
yeah,
for leaving, basically, because yeah, it's part of their yeah, pension. They get a bit of a pension. It yeah, might not be much if he's only been there for 10 years, but it's still a pension.
Yeah,
and he'll accrue more pension the longer he stays. So if he stays till the end of the year, you know, which he shouldn't fucking do. I think he should just go. What he should do is go, look, I'm going to resign. We're not going to have a by-election because there's an election coming up. But I'm just going to disappear and I'm going to stop taking the money.
I agree with you.
You know, how about
but
that?
I suspect that with this attitude towards toe rag in Westminster, that it's got something to do with wokery.
Yes.
And if he was heterosexual,
yes,
would he be treated with such leniency? I bet he fucking wouldn't.
I wonder if that's the case. I mean, it doesn't seem to me that he's being treated with leniency by the press.
No, I mean, by the Tories.
But by the Tories, yeah.
So I think there's two things. They thought it was good to say, oh, yeah, he's gay, he's great. And the other thing is they're shit scared of a fucking by-election.
Right.
So Rag got off yeah, scot-free, but he's fucked anyway.
Yeah. Well, so is Sunak, by the way. I mean, I don't know when he wants to have a fucking election. It fucking matters when he has it, does it, really? Because he's, you know, he's out, basically, no matter what. There's no way he's going to
so
fucking hang on
fucking
to it.
Fucked. I mean, I don't know what... you know what Sunak thinks he's playing at, but if I was him, I'd just get myself and the nation out of this misery. Why does he want to go on and on and on,
yeah,
just careering towards the inevitable?
Well, because it must be the shittest job in the world when you're not enjoying it, because you're fucking up every fucking night, you're up every morning, you sleep hardly
yeah,
at all,
yeah,
you've got to worry about fucking Israel, you've got to worry about yeah, America, you've got to worry about fucking, you know, Saudi Arabia. Everyone thinks you're a cunt.
Yeah.
You've got no fucking chance of winning the next election. What's, you know, what's yeah, the upside?
Yeah, 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 and the other day he did this podcast with William Hague, former Tory leader, saying, oh, you know, the trouble with this job, you know, is, you know, you just don't get to see your kids. Well, don't fucking do the job
right,
then.
Well,
you know what?
They might be quite happy about that.
Do you know what Sunak is? He is the latest in a long line of politicians who resign from their families to spend more time with their careers.
Yes, exactly.
That's the truth of it.
It is.
These people are workaholics. Their families only play a bit part.
But also, do you remember that really fucking cringy interview he did with his wife?
Yeah.
Where they talked about, you know, who cooked for the kids.
Oh, that's right.
And you're going, come on, guys. I mean, some of the richest fucking people in Britain. You don't actually go home and make scrambled eggs for your fucking missus and your kids, do you?
Exactly right.
That's a load of old bollocks.
Yeah, those two, Rishi Sunak, it's just a bit... It's turning into a sort of a comical farce.
Yeah.
With him saying, oh, no, Britain's turned the corner. No, it fucking hasn't.
No, Britain is right in the shit. Nothing fucking works at all.
Huh.
You know, did you see that story about the fucking benefits gang of fucking Bulgarians?
Who nicked 54 million quid
out of the fucking exchequer. And I bet you any money, because you read that story, that, I mean, the thing that surprises me, that actually caught them at all, but they did this over 4 years. I bet that they got hardly any of that money back. You know, they say they found sacks of cash.
But
they would have found, if they're lucky, £500,000.
Yeah, 2016 to 2021.
Yeah.
So it's basically getting on for 5 years. And they're interesting operation. The front for it was a legitimate grocery store.
Oh, yeah.
In Wood Green, which is in North London, near Spurs,
yes,
if you're not from the
London
area.
Well, the great
area.
Thing about having a grocery store is it's a good way to
yeah,
launder
well,
money,
well,
isn't
well,
it?
Well, but you could go there... And like one of these Bulgarians said, what you want? Oh, a packet of Marlboro or something.
Yeah.
And they sell you a newspaper and a packet of chewing gum. They go, thanks very much. And then they go behind the curtain and out the back, there were fucking suitcases full of millions
right,
of pounds. Millions of pounds. And so they were ripping off Universal Credit, 6,000 fraudulent claims
yeah,
they made. And that's why it's called Universal Credit, because absolutely fucking anyone can get it.
Right. But that's the thing. How the fuck could you actually not... noticed that that was going on. And my view of this is that the Universal Credit Department will have loads of this going on. Mm-hmm. You know, because we've got 6 million people now claiming some kind of fucking benefit who are not actually working. So these are all the same people who'll be claiming, some of them, lots of them probably claiming universal benefit. And these people, I mean, it must be costing us fucking billions. I think 11 billion is what they said it's cost over the last 2 years. And loads of that will be fraud.
And one of the many areas that the Tories have let us down, the successive Tory governments, because they've been in now for 13 years, I think, under a succession of different shit prime
it's
ministers.
It's all been crap, hasn't
but
it?
You know, they've let us down on so many levels insofar as this is not a conservative country. They've let this country turn into a sort of left-wing woke cesspit.
Yeah.
And the other area where the Tories should have cracked down, they've allowed our benefit system to absolutely career out of control.
Look at all the things that the shit right now. Benefits, the criminal fucking fraternity running the streets where you basically can't go to loads of fucking parts of Britain anymore because it's too fucking dangerous. The NHS, which is fucked. As I say, immigration, which is completely and utterly a fucking open door now. You basically come here from anywhere and fucking that guy who they've arrested for the fucking murder in Bradford came in on a fucking student visa.
Student visa, of course,
You know, it's unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that's the trouble. The Tory government has let this country go to fucking rack and ruin and also allowed... We've got a allegedly conservative right-wing government that this country is like a really extreme far-left woke cesspit, as I say, with full of fucking people.
Full of wankers
saying
in the civil
absolute
service.
Mad shite. Right.
Yeah, exactly. And the fucking civil service are leading the charge. You know, I saw a story this week on the fucking tax people, HMRC, have started hiring loads of fucking diversity hires in order to fucking make sure that, you know, everybody's having a fucking absolutely brilliant time.
Do you know,
you know, just collect the fucking tax.
On this front, right, so I was talking about the NHS. Well, I was on the talk, the programme on Talk TV, Lord Ed Veasey.
Yeah.
Great guy, I like him.
He's all right,
I like Ed a lot. Good laugh. But obviously a high Tory and all that. But he's a very left-wing
Tory. He is a left-wing Tory,
And he admits it.
Because I nailed him in the tent of shame.
Oh, you had a bad time.
When we first met, but I'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah, tell me about it. No, so we're talking about the NHS and West Streeting the new, or the... wannabe new health secretary. To his credit, just says it does need reorganising top to bottom, and I'm going to do it. He won't. He won't have the guts. But
at least he's
saying the right things. And I said, well, you know, it's a fucking joke. They go, it's the envy of the world. No, it's not. It's a fucking useless health service.
It's
crap. I said, you know. Reorganising it from top to bottom, you know, sort of Ed had said something about we need more investment. I said, fuck off, more investment. Yeah. 200 billion quid a year, and they got 3,500 middle management executives who aren't doctors, aren't medically qualified, all of them on £100,000 or more. They've got hundreds they've got hundreds of diversity offices. This is going through millions and millions of pounds, and so Ed basically goes, I knew you'd come up with that argument. What, as if it's not valid?
Well, it's not an argument, it's reality.
It's a valid argument.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Also, it's not an argument. The point is that there's now more people working in the NHS than ever before. We did this story a little while ago. 2 million people now were employed by the NHS, which is a third of the whole fucking public sector. A third, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they've never had more money, and they've never had more people, but 50% of the people are not fucking interested in doing any medicine work because they're not fucking doctors or nurses.
Yeah.
It's a fucking joke.
And all the lefties go, you talk about all these...
You just want to privatise it.
Honestly, that's just such a minor issue. It isn't.
No.
3,500 people. When I say they're all on... £100,000 or more, that means a lot of them are on £200,000 and £300,000. Plus, you've got all these diversity officers, all of whom earn about £60,000 a year. You can't say that's a minor issue.
I used to do this on a regular basis.
It's mismanagement.
Go into the back of the Guardian and look and see how much they're paying. And do you know that you can find jobs for people like, you know, climate change coordinator
in the NHS?
In the NHS.
Yeah,
NHS Essex or NHS fucking Sussex or whatever you like, £102,000 a year. Plus plus, you know, Atlanta expenses for this, that, and the other. It's ridiculous what they're fucking doing.
Yeah.
All this fucking bullshit to so-called net zero. You know, it's a fucking industry.
Hey, folks.
And I know people that work in hospitals, friends of mine who are nurses, friends of mine who are married to nurses, and they say it's an absolute fucking shambles because you can't get anything that you need to get because the system's fucked.
As I also pointed out in the same discussion, you know, if you're challenging my contention that this is a bit of an outmoded organisation that is over-bureaucratised, can you explain to me why the NHS still buys hundreds of fax machines every year?
You can't.
Fax machines.
And they're the only people that have them, so they can only be sending faxes to each other, because nobody else has got one.
But what, you know, what else are you going to get? Some gas street lamps or something? I mean, what the fuck have you got fax machines for?
Oh,
as you say, nobody's had a fax machine for about 30 fucking years.
Nobody
the
uses
NHS
them.
Still uses them.
I know. Fucking ludicrous. Now, I want to talk. We're going to take a little short break actually here because we've got to hear from our friends, good friends at Babbel. And we'll be back after this. Hey, Kevin, do you remember how you were telling me the other week about how you managed to learn Russian when you were at school? Well, we've got a great opportunity for everybody who listens to the Thought Police, and we've got a great offer for them from a company called Babbel. And it's all about learning a new foreign language. I mean, I'll tell you what, you and I talk about how this country is going to the dogs every single week. More and more people are actually leaving the country to go and live in places like Europe, France, Italy, Belgium, Spain, going to South America, Colombia, going to America, going to, Southeast Asia, maybe Thailand. And this is your opportunity, if you want to actually learn to speak the language of wherever it is you're going. Or you might just want to learn to speak the language of wherever you're going on holiday. You know, because it's all very well going, dos cervezas, por favor, when you go to Spain for a game of golf. But actually, it's a lot better if you can speak more of the language. Now, your worldview might have expanded. You might just want to learn the language of another country just for the hell of it. You might want to go ahead and do it with one of your kids. You might want to just go, you know what? This year in the summer, we're just going to learn how to speak French. The problem is you haven't got time for language learning because it's a bit pricey and it's a bit time consuming. But here's what Babbel does for yourself. They will teach you how to speak another language, and it won't actually take up all of your time and all of your day. Language learning is made for the real world with Babbel. All you've got to do is start up and engage in real life dialogues, because what they'll do is they'll have lessons that are complemented by cultural insights. They'll make it interesting when they teach you a new language, and you can choose from 14 different ones, which include Spanish, French, Italian, and German. And basically, it's really, really easy. It's like a personal language coach. You do it whenever you want to, but you can do it as little as 10 minutes a day or as much as 1 hour a day. You'll receive personalized learning content based on your individual skill level and the goals that you want to reach. The teaching method as well that Babbel uses has been proven to be effective across all sorts of multiple studies, right? You can get it as an app or you can get it online. And what it basically enables you to do is learn a new language within the Babbel ecosystem. You can choose between podcasts, you can choose between games, lessons, and so much more. And it's really, really easy. I've got to tell you, Kev, I'm really excited about this. It's one of the few things that we have actually sold on to people who listen to this podcast that is very, very useful indeed. Okay, so here's what you do. You basically can get Babbel with an amazing offer for 6 months free. All you got to do is purchase a 6 month subscription and use the promo code, our exclusive promo code here at the Thought Police. It is police. So here's what you do. You go to babbel.com/play. Use the promo code police for an extra 6 months free. And it's Babbel. That's babbel.com/play. And use the promo code police. And it's your guaranteed path towards speaking a new language. And what you do is you buy a 6 month subscription and you get another 6 months for free. How could that not be brilliant? Comment allez-vous? Avez-vous une tasse de thé? I'm Mike Graham. He's Kevin O'Sullivan. We're the Thought Police. Learn a new language. You can't go wrong. Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about this new zombie drug. That's hit the streets. Have you got any?
Zinoline. Is it called Zinoline? Something
I'm not
like
sure.
I can look it up.
Look it up. Because talk apparently yourself. This is the new thing that's coming. Because, you know, when I was talking last week, I just come back from New York, and because it was so wet and horrible, I didn't see the sort of scenes that I thought I might see in New York, which is sort of loads of people staggering around, zonked out of their faces on fucking fentanyl, you know. But I'm told that that's what you would normally see if you were there, particularly during the fucking summer months when everybody's out on the streets. But we've now been warned that there's this big new drug coming.
Xinolene, I think.
And what's the point of it?
Well, it's a drug that you inject, and in Russia, where it first took off, it's called Crocodile for some reason, and you inject it, but it's got this kind of sort of undesirable side effect, and that is it rots your flesh.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. Oh, how much is this stuff? I must get stuck into it.
That's where
you
grab.
But my bet is, I said this today, I bet you Xinolin or whatever it's called is very cheap.
Right.
So in other
words, that's the problem. It'd be like spice, right?
Gives you a heroin, well, worse than that, because you have to inject. It gives you a heroin-like high.
Yes.
For probably not very much money. So it's really taking off. It's been responsible for 11 deaths in Britain so far.
Here we go. Flesh-eating zombie drug, and you'd find it. Leaked to 11 deaths.
Xinolin, is it?
It's called xylazine.
Xylazine, almost there.
It's also known as trank dope. Trank.
Yeah, trank dope here. Crocodile in Russia, where it took off. And all the England fans who are going to the Euros in Germany in the summer. They're really pissed off because they've been directed to all these hotels on a particular street. I think it's in Berlin, and it's the street where all the fucking trank dope addicts are shooting up. So they got to fucking book into these hotels with these fucking zombies with rotting arms and things outside.
No, I mean, at least it's not dangerous though, because you're going to be attacked by a zombie with a rotting arm.
That's
not going to be like Night of the Living Dead or anything.
You know, I'll try anything once, but I think I might give crocodile trank dope. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think you're probably very wise. Speaking of dopes, let's talk about the new This Morning crowd. Because since Holly and Phil have departed these shores, things don't seem to be going terribly well.
Ben and Cat. So yes. Ben Shepherd and Cat Dealey. Cat Dealey back from America.
I used to like Cat Dealey.
There's nothing wrong with either of them. Ben's a very nice guy. Bloody good footballer, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
But he's a nice guy, and she's a very nice woman. But to put it this way, they're not hitting the spot. Holly and Phil, Holly Willoughby and Phil Schofield, who of course presented This Morning for about a million years.
Right.
They were...
How is Phil, by the way? How's he doing?
Well, he was pictured buying a dog the other day.
Was he?
For some reason. Probably his only...
Bad news for the
dog. It's his only friend. You can't buy your friends, Phil.
No, exactly.
Anyway, they used to get... now, between like 850,000 and a million viewers every day. On daytime, that's pretty good numbers.
Yeah.
Right. Now, when Phil started getting in the shit, you know, about his dubious relationships with the young people in the office, which led to his resignation.
His demise.
Their numbers started to go down. And they were flagging around about the sort of probably 820 mark or something. Then Phil left, and then when Holly came back amid much fanfare, they actually did, when she came back, they did a big musical number outside by the river with everyone going with them going, "She's the dancing queen."
Yeah,
it was like a massive sort of Busby Barkley fanfare thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, immediately ratings started to fall, so she didn't hit the fucking spot on her own. So they go, "All right," and then of course she quit. She'd had enough. So they came up with a new golden couple, Kat and Ben.
Didn't they try Alison Hammond for a while?
Well, they were talking, not really.
No.
Alison Hammond and Dermot O'Leary do Fridays.
Right.
And there was talk of them taking over full time, but no. It's Ben and Kat. Anyway, they're down to about 780,000 and falling fast.
Right.
So it just is not fucking working.
So people just don't like it.
No, they don't like it.
Do you genuinely think, though, that things are changing in TV? People are just not watching it the same way. You know, in the same way that we saw newspapers kind of going into decline, the TV now is the same, going the same way.
Absolutely. You know, YouTube has changed the world. So has Netflix. People want to watch what they want to watch when they want to watch it.
Right.
Scheduled, old-fashioned, terrestrial scheduled television is dying a fucking death. the whole culture that we used to have, certainly here and in America, home from work, sit down and watch the telly for the night, it's died.
I mean, I was in, like I say, Connecticut with my sister for the whole week. There was a time when we would sit down and maybe watch a movie together. Yeah. I think we did it once, but not once did I put on regular American TV to watch it. I only watched it when I was in a hotel because I happened to be there for one night in New York. And just before I went out, I put it on while I was getting ready, and I watched a bit of Fox News, you know. But I mean, you just don't have any reason to put the television on.
Yeah, well, there's two reasons I don't really watch much television anymore. One is because I used to be a TV critic, and I used to have to watch 30 hours of fucking bollocks every week, X Factor and all that. So I've kind of got an aversion, almost an allergy to television these days. So I don't often watch it. If I do watch it, it'll be Netflix. Yeah. Amazon.
Have you watched Scoop, by the way?
I have watched Scoop.
What do you make of it?
I
thought it was good.
I enjoyed it.
There seems to be two schools of thought on it, right? Some people think it's absolute dog shit and fucking hopeless. I actually thought it was quite well put together. You know, hands up, I know Sam McAllister pretty well. And I know, obviously, you know her as well, Annette Witheridge. And I said to her, what a great piece of fucking luck that you start the whole thing.
Yeah, she's in it, isn't she?
Well, she's the
Gary, I know.
You know, which is great. And I thought I think it's done really well.
The way it's not a romance film, but it's got the kind of feel of a light and bright and breezy rom-com.
Yeah.
That's the tenor of it. It's a fun film telling this extraordinary story. If you wanted to be hypercritical, and this is what people are saying, it's kind of very surface level.
Yeah.
It doesn't go into the deep issues, doesn't discuss Andrew's problems or Epstein enough, doesn't pay enough credit to the victims and all that stuff. But
it
doesn't try to
be. But it's also not about
it's
that.
It's not trying to be war and fucking peace.
No,
it's not
but also these people who say, it makes you feel sympathetic towards Andrew. No, it doesn't. Andrew comes across as a total fucking bore.
Yeah.
And a total bore. Yeah. And a complete wanker.
Rufus Sewell, who played Prince Andrew.
He's very good, actually.
Yeah. But he didn't have to learn many lines, did he?
No.
Basically, his whole part
didn't
was.
Say much.
His whole part was. That was about it. But I enjoyed it. I sort of get why people. Do you know what some cunt said? Right, he was one of the critics. It was either the Guardian or the Radio Times. Definitely, it might have been the Radio Times guy saying, it is quite interesting. You know, at one point, it almost touches on an interesting issue, which is, of course, that the BBC at the time was having to lay off a lot of journalism.
Yes.
So journalism in the face of economic cuts was a very interesting issue that they did not pursue. The fucking film wasn't about that, you daft fuck. Fuck's sake.
Also, if they want to save a bit of money, maybe they should stop paying the fucking private school fees of their foreign correspondents around the fucking world to the tune of £400,000.
Absolutely.
Thanks very much indeed.
Anyway, I quite enjoyed it. But like what we were saying
about...
What
your point was, sorry.
We were talking about, I said when I do watch television, it'll be Netflix or Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
And there are two reasons I don't watch terrestrial television anymore. One, I don't know what it is. Maybe you get this as well. It just feels like something out of another age. It feels like old and tarnished.
Yeah.
And the other thing, of course, is BBC, ITV, Channel 4, Channel 5 fill the airwaves with utter fucking shit.
It's true.
That is unwatchable.
There's literally nothing that I watch.
Fucking BBC is now like 99% unwatchably woke.
Yeah.
You know, you're not allowed onto the BBC anymore unless you're disabled.
No, oh, I know. It's a fucking joke,
fucking
the whole
ridiculous.
Thing. Let's talk about football just before we end, because we're coming up to nearly half an hour. Right?
Yep.
Although a special mention should be given to old Humza Useless, because despite the shit week that he's had, guess what? It's got even shitter today.
Go
on. He's got the lowest popularity rating of any SNP leader ever. He's gone down below the Labour Party now.
He's so fucking...
What's a fucking
by the way, the other day, I said on air, on Talk TV the other day, I got a bit angry about it, because I am angry about him. He's the enemy...
ruining Scotland.
He's the enemy of liberty.
He's fucking ruining
he's
Scotland.
Sinister, he's closing down free speech, etc., etc. So I was in a bit of a rant. I said, this is sinister, it's illiberal, it's North Korea. Get back to the call centre, Humza.
Right.
Anyway, so this complaint came in saying that I was being racist.
Yeah.
Because they thought that I was sort of suggesting that people of colour worked in.
Oh, yeah.
But no, what worked in call centres? No. I was saying the truth that Hamza Yousaf, before he became a politician, his career, if you could call it that, was working in a call centre.
There you go. I mean, people have so fucking little sense anymore. Yeah. They just literally haven't got any. But football, you're saying you've got an interesting engagement coming up.
I don't know when our wonderful audience will be listening to this.
Hopefully at the weekend. Yeah,
you can do it before Sunday's match, which is West Ham versus Fulham. If you do it afterwards, I might not be around anymore. And the reason is that you all know, of course, I'm a bit of a Fulham fan and all that. And we're away on Sunday to West Ham, local London derby.
That should get a bit tasty.
I was a bit late. I could have got tickets, but I didn't really get round to asking, so to getting in touch to get hold of them. So I was feeling a bit shit about it. It's going to be a good game. Anyway, my mate, who's a West Ham fan, Ivan, he got in touch with me. He said, hey, I've got a spare ticket for the match on Sunday if you want. My mate can't make it. So I just went, I'll have it. Anyway, I am off to the Millennium Stadium on...
The Millennium Stadium? London Stadium,
yeah.
I think so. They don't even call Millennium Stadium that anymore.
They used to be called that, didn't they? Anyway,
they call it the Principality Stadium now, I think.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm off to West Ham's
ground.
And turns out, I'm going to have to be standing right in the middle of the fucking
West Ham
boys. You know those ones that never sit down. So I'll be standing in the middle, and quite a few of them know me because I've been before, and they know I support Fulham.
Right.
So if Fulham score a goal, I'll have to go.
That'll be like when I took my kids to the Barcelona Nou Camp one time, and it was quite a few years ago. A friend of mine got me some tickets, and of course, a bit like Celtic and Rangers, when they play Real Madrid, they don't give any tickets to fucking Real Madrid.
Yeah,
and it was the game actually where. What's his name? Jose Mourinho poked the guy's eye out. The Real Madrid fucking...
that's right.
I know, the Barcelona coach. It was, I can't remember. Villanova, I think his name was.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was quite a fucking lively game. It was like a cup game or something. Anyway, Ronaldo scored, I think, two or three goals. He scored one right in front and we were right behind the goal. And fucking my daughter Emma just leaps up and goes, yes! I was literally the only person in the entire stadium.
Well, this is...
I sat down very gingerly.
So I did go, about 2-3 years ago, I went to West Ham with the same people. They're good guys, by the way. And West Ham are my second favourite team. And so they knew I was a Fulham fan. Right. And Fulham scored in the first minute.
Yeah.
So I went... Anyway, luckily, West Ham went on to win 3-1. Mm. So all these hard guys are going, never mind, mate. Yeah, good sport you are. Well done, mate. Yeah. Good to see you. Good luck to Fulham and all that.
Yeah.
If we win on Sunday, they'll kill me. They'll fucking kill me.
Yeah. It won't be so good to see
you. Yeah. It wasn't good to see you.
Well, hopefully that won't happen. Hopefully we'll be back next week.
With a bit of luck, I'll be back next week.
Yeah, absolutely right. Meanwhile, stay tuned for more fuckwittery over the weekend from the fucking government, fucking NHS. Everything else has gone fucking
And you lot can all go fuck yourselves as well.
Exactly. Bollocks. We'll be right back.